Welcome to the High Percentage Podcast, ruining your day with statistics.
Welcome back to High Percentage. Today we're going to take a look at the age-old argument of offense versus defense, and I'm going to take a side and come down firmly on the side of offense. High Percentage is sponsored by Keenan Cornelius's Lapel Guard Encyclopedia. This is a 7-hour program in which Keenan walks you through his entire lapel guard system. There's 5 different guards that he uses, and I think it's a great fit if you're interested in systems and if you're interested in really trying to hack your approach to jiu-jitsu. It's all guard-based. Keenan's one of the best guard players in the world. I think it's an incredible value. You can take a deep dive into a specific aspect of jiu-jitsu and really master it. We know that guard is a really powerful position. It's a neutral position where things can go either way, and there's a lot of amazing jiu-jitsu players that have built their whole career on having really powerful guard systems. What I really like about Keenan's system is that it's very original. You won't see any other instructors selling courses out there that have a lapel guard system like Keenan's. And because it's fairly new, I think it's very underutilized at the tournament level. There haven't been a lot of people that have spent a lot of time to develop counters to it. So the people that implement those kind of systems first tend to have terrific success while everyone kind of struggles to catch up. If you're interested in the program and you purchase it, you can enter the code HIGHPERCENTAGE when you check out. You'll get 10% off, and then HIGHPERCENTAGE will get an affiliate commission. The code is HIGHPERCENTAGE, and that's high and the percent symbol. Okay, so let's talk offense versus defense. So this is one of the oldest arguments in jiu-jitsu. There's 2 different camps. The more traditional conservative side of jiu-jitsu, usually associated with the Gracie family, they take a very defense-heavy approach. And then sort of the new school or the competitive branch of jiu-jitsu, they really believe in attacking and pushing your opponent, going for submissions, trying to advance your position constantly. And really, it all comes down to definitions of what is victory. If you define victory in jiu-jitsu as staying alive, not losing, not getting tapped out, then a defense approach is optimal for that. But if you're focused on the tournament side of jiu-jitsu, going into competition, then you must be offensive. What kind of confuses me sometimes is that I see some people that are interested in the competitive tournament side of jiu-jitsu, but they still say that they have a defense-heavy strategy, and if they have really good defense, they're going to do well in the tournaments. But I don't feel that's true, and I want to make the case. Before I do this, because I know I might be triggering some people that are always kind of preaching the gospel of strong defense, I want to say that this is not a binary thing. So it's false to think that you have to choose between a really good offense and a really good defense. You can and you should have both. And in fact, some of the most offensive fighters in competitive jiu-jitsu will talk about their really strong defense. I remember hearing an interview with Gary Tonin, and someone asked him how he can have such a dynamic offense where he finishes a lot of his opponents at a high level. And his response was, I have a really solid defense, so I feel like I'm not afraid to go for wrists and not afraid to attack and give up position because I feel like no matter where I land, I'm going to be okay. With that being said, that is not the same thing as Gary Tonin saying, I use defense to win matches. Okay, so there's 2 reasons why defense is not enough in the competitive realm of jiu-jitsu, and both of them are kind of big reasons, so I'm going to unpack them one at a time. The first is that the rule set of Brazilian jiu-jitsu fundamentally rewards players for being offensive. So a great example is, you know, think about all the things that you get points for in an IBJJF tournament. You get points for a takedown. You get points for passing guard. You get points for a sweep, advancing your position. But if you defend a takedown, if you defend a sweep, or even if you escape the mount, escape the side mount, you get no points. So that's an example of you get points for attacking, but you don't get points for good defense. Now, when you drill it down to the advantages level, it's the same thing. So if I get a takedown, but I'm not able to hold my opponent down for 3 seconds and they pop up, I actually still get a point in the form of an advantage. Whereas the person that had solid takedown defense and was able to pop up, they're not rewarded for their effort at all. And now let's take it even further and let's look at the penalty side of things. You don't get penalties for being offensive. You get penalties when you fail to be offensive. So if I take you down and I get you in side mount, my next job from a rule standpoint is to take the mount or take the back. And if I fail to do that, a referee can award me a penalty for failing to advance my position. The only time when I won't get penalized for failing to advance is when I'm in the mount or I've taken the back, because there is no way to really improve my position from there. Another way that you can think of this is imagine two soccer players. One is the goaltender and the other has the ball. The one that has the ball gets to make 10 shots on the goaltender. If he gets one shot, he wins. If the goaltender blocks all 10 shots, he wins. Who has more of an advantage? Well, obviously, the person that is taking the shots does, because he only has to score one shot to win, whereas the goalie has to block all 10. If you have a defensive approach or a defensive strategy in a tournament, it's going to be the same outcome, because the onus is on you to absolutely shut down every single one of your opponent's advances. And even if you do that perfectly, it would still be 0-0. So at some point, you have to find a way to score points in there if you want to win. The other big factor in why defense is not enough in competitive jiu-jitsu is because the time limits are too short. So in most matches, you're looking at a 5-minute match. And although people can absolutely get exhausted in that period of time, for the most part, if you're training regularly, you have a decent cardio program, you're going to hold up pretty good. If the matches were longer, maybe like 25 minutes, well, then a defense-heavy strategy would make some more sense, because one person could focus on conservation of energy, and if they could withhold that early offensive storm from their opponent, they might be able to come back and take over. But what we've seen at the professional level with long-form matches, even like Metamoris, which had a 20-minute match, is that that still doesn't quite work out, because those are, at that level, professional athletes. And even over a 20-minute time period, they're still not going to exhaust themselves. So really, the sweet spot where that defense strategy applies is when you have a good amount of time between one opponent that is really excellent at conserving energy and another one that is very poor at managing their energy, like in a street fight scenario. But there is a happy middle ground with all of this, luckily, which is, do you need defense if you want to compete? 100% you do. You need to have solid defense to fight your way out of bad positions. What you don't want is to have a strategy that is based around winning with your defense. Instead, you want to have a strategy and a mindset of attacking, moving forward constantly, because these are short matches. So normally, if you get the lead early, you're probably going to keep the lead, especially if you can do something like pass guard. That's all for this podcast. If you want to check out all the articles that we've published over on the website, you can go to highpercentagemartialarts.com. If you want to get in contact with us, I'm at highpercentagemartialarts@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page where we update with all of our articles, our podcasts, and I even do a Facebook Live once a week where we watch tournaments and matches in real time and do some of the data recording so you can get a little insight into our process. I should mention that if you want to keep track with other projects that I'm involved in, I'm the managing editor of a great website called ujujitsu.com. I write articles on there, and also I help corral the other writers. We try to put out quality content every week. And I've also written a book called The True Believers. It's available on Amazon. You can just Google The True Believers, Lewis Martin. It's kind of a biography of my early martial arts training in Monterey. Check that out. Thank you for listening to this, and we'll see you next week on the High Percentage Podcast.